Micah chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. And some of you are still looking. I'll wait for you to get there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Micah chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Now, this was the present state of Israel, or what was going to happen to Israel. Micah 5, verse 1. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. Amen. I think that's probably talking about Rome that came and ruled over Israel and judged Israel with a rod of iron. And sometimes we look at situations that are going on, and we think that God has stopped moving, that there is no move of God, that there is nothing that's taking place. But verse 2 kind of switches and shows us, the first verse shows us what man is doing, but the second verse shows us what God is doing. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Praise God. Folks, there's always hope. There's always hope. There's always a light that's shining when you've got God in your life. Amen. When we are following him, he is the one that goes forth, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Amen. God's never relaxed. Amen. God has never gone backwards. Praise God. He's never stopped, but he goes forth. He goes forth. And I want to preach tonight a little bit about whose goings forth. Amen. Whose goings forth. Lord, we thank you for the word of truth tonight. We thank you for the anointing. Ask you to anoint the word of God. Anoint my lips. God, anoint our ears tonight to hear the word of God. We give you honor. We give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. And I believe the Lord wants to challenge us here tonight. When we talk about the Lord, and I want to do that first, I want you to know that I am not here tonight to instruct anyone about the fullness of our great God. I don't believe that we can fully comprehend. Scripture says that we look now through a glass darkly. And so there are things about the Lord that we don't understand, things that we cannot understand in our finite minds, that there is someone who always has been and always will be. We don't understand that. We cannot comprehend that. But I want to try tonight to shed a little insight into the glory of the Lord and into the begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. Amen. We talked about him this morning, and it seems like that has been my theme for a while. Actually, it has been the theme of my life because I was raised up as a Catholic Trinitarian boy, and all I knew was that God was a million miles away, and whatever I was taught, I had to believe by faith. But I found out one day, praise God, that he is near, that he wants to have a personal relationship with people. And I don't believe tonight there's any way that anyone can comprehend the Lord, for he has always been and he always will be. God's being and God's fullness can only be comprehended, as I've already said, through that glass darkly. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10 and 11, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Philippians, and he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That's our goal tonight, is to attain unto the resurrection of the dead. But Paul said this, that I may know him. And to get it in the right context tonight, we're talking about the man that wrote most of the New Testament, the man that when Peter talked about him, he said, this man writes very deep things, things that are hard to comprehend and understand. And here he is shedding all the facade and all that, and he says, Philippians, I want to know him, that I may know him, that I may know the power of his resurrection, that I may have fellowship with him. And so our walk with God is not going to be complete until that resurrection of the dead. We're not ever going to be able to say, I have arrived. Well, praise the Lord. Not ever going to be able to say, I've been here long enough. I don't need to worship. Praise the Lord. Well, praise God. Never going to get to the place where I feel like I've received everything that I can receive from the Lord. But I'm reaching, as 2 Peter 3 and 18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we must grow in him. There is a growing process that must take place in the life of every child of God. Can you say amen tonight? Amen. There is no such thing as seniority in the church. Praise God. There is no such thing as a race in the church. There is no such thing as male or female in the church. Amen. We are all one in Jesus Christ tonight. And we are growing in him and in the knowledge, growing in grace and in the knowledge. So there is the knowledge of God, but there is also the relationship that we have with God where we grow in grace or in favor with God. And so the question arises, or several questions arise, how can we know him more and more? How can we know God more, as the apostle said? And how can we enter into new heights, not just to know him, but to enter into new heights and to experience a deeper relationship with him? And how can we maintain a deep walk with God? These are very important questions and worthy of our time tonight to hopefully get some answers for this. I believe it's a very, very simple answer, but probably more difficult to work out than it is to understand. Amen. And so when we consider these things, we come to a starting point tonight, and that starting point is what we would call expression. Everybody said expression. Expression or language. Amen. And so the only way that we can know God and to draw closer to God and to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, we've got to have a starting point where we understand the language of God. Amen. Where we can receive God's expression to you and I. Amen. Without language, there is nothing that can really be taken place, nothing that's productive. The languages or their language in the Tower of Babel was confused, and they left off to build the city because there was no expression or language that would give them direction or understanding or unity. Amen. So that they could build this this tower that would reach into heaven. And so, thank God tonight, we have the expression of God. Amen. Ought to hold it very, very close to your heart. Amen. Because it is the Word of God that is literally God's expression to us. Yes, it's the things that God loves and it's the things that God hates. But when we consider this tonight, we can see in the scripture that it says, in the beginning was the Word. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and so on. But he created it by the Word of God. We talked about it this morning. So those of you that were here this morning, don't tune me out. We're going to change directions here in just a few minutes or just a little bit. But we've got to start here. In the beginning was the Word. And so where there is no Word or speech, there is no revelation. Amen. Without Word and without speech, there is no revelation. And this can be good or it can be bad. I think it's always good if we look at it in the right way. But doesn't the Bible tell us that the expression of the heart comes from the mouth? It is an expression. It is a language. It is a revelation. And a lot is revealed by language. A lot is revealed by expression. And so when we look at this here tonight, and I saw this and I thought, I've got to share this tonight. Only God knows all of God. I know that sounds simple tonight, but that's very powerful. And there are those that have come that have said, well, I've got this idea of God. I've got this feeling about God. Some have come along and said there is no God. Some say that God is not knowable, that God could be or couldn't be. We don't really know. Some say that there are more than one God, and so many philosophies, and the Bible says they are philosophies of men. But if we're going to get down to the truth of the matter, we cannot go to the philosophies of men. We cannot go to the church fathers. Amen. We cannot go to the theology of men, but what we've got to do is we've got to know him. We've got to go to him. Praise the Lord. We've got to go to his word because only God knows all of God. He's the only one that really knows himself in a complete way. And so we are handicapped tonight in that we only know what God shows us. We only know what God tells us. We can only get a revelation by the expression of God, by the Word of God. That's why it says in the Bible that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Praise the Lord. God chose words to change us. Hallelujah. God chose words to reveal things. God chose words as a very powerful thing. If you notice in our political system, they argue sometimes about a single word. That's because they've got more time and money on their hands than they know what to do with. We're going to leave it right there. But where there's no word, there's no revelation. And only through God's word can we know God doctrinally, and can we know God personally? Praise the Lord. We can't make up a religion here tonight, I guess is what I'm trying to say. We cannot make up a doctrine, although men have done that over the course of history. We cannot bring a sacrifice that we feel is right, amen, like Cain did. We must bring a sacrifice of praise unto God that is acceptable to God, because God is the only one that knows all about God. Amen. He's the only one that knows what is the right way, and we are ignorant in the fact that we don't know God without him revealing himself to us. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Don't we serve an awesome God here tonight? And we cannot come to the knowledge of God through experiences Amen. And God does give us experiences. There are those that have had experiences where a little girl or a little boy will say that in another life they were somebody else and they lived at this certain address and they buried something in the ground underneath the particular room. And when they went to that place and dug it up, they found exactly what they were looking for. And there are people that will take those kinds of experiences and they will build their lives around them. But experiences don't equate to truth.
Amen.
Amen. They don't equate to truth. We cannot lean upon experiences. You say, well, Pastor, what's that all about? What's that all about when they say that people have seen aliens and all of that? If you have any understanding in Scripture, you'll understand that they are demons in this world, and they are putting up a front, amen, just as they do in the religious world. They put up the front in the scientific world, in the world of, what do they call that, where they conjure up the dead and all of that. But it is not based upon truth. Amen. Now we can experience God. Thank God for that. In our generation, in our time, in this New Testament, we can experience God. But our experience must measure up to the Word of God. Thank God for the Word of God, because it is God's expression to us. Amen. But more than just to pick up your Bible and to read it, more than just a word, we must have a word that penetrates to our heart and our soul. Amen. Jesus said, "The words that I say unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Amen. They're not dead words. They're not just something that somebody wrote down. When you get to examine your Bible, you'll find that this is the most perfect book that's ever been written. Amen. It is supernatural and it is powerful. Praise God. It is by the Word of God that deliverance comes. Amen. It is by the Word of God that revelation, amen, a revelation of God's plan in real life, amen. Not in imagination, not in philosophy, not in what somebody thinks it's going to be, but in real life. A young person here tonight, God's got a real life plan for you. Amen. You say, well, how can I seek the will of God? Get your nose in the book. And somewhere down the line, you're going to be reading something in the Word of God, and all of a sudden, those pages, those words are going to jump out at you, and you will remember it for the rest of your life. I know you haven't had that happen, probably. But if you will seek God's will for your life, it's going to happen. Not only will it happen there, but it will happen by the preached Word of God. Somebody said amen. Amen. I'm talking about God tonight. I'm talking about the Lord. And our text here reveals something about the Lord. And he talks about the city of the birth of Jesus Christ. Amen. Bethlehem was not God's beginning here, but the point in time when he made known himself to mankind. And so it was not God's beginning. Bethlehem was our beginning, praise God. It was a point in time when God revealed himself in a measure that he had never revealed himself before, praise God. In the Old Testament, it was through the prophets. In the Old Testament, it was through sundry and various ways that God spoke to man. But thank God, in that stable in Bethlehem, that little child that was laying in the manger was God's expression to you and I. It was the manifestation of the Word of God. Because you see, the Word of God is not just scriptures to memorize. It's not just a book to read, but it is a real life plan for you and I. It is reality in the realest sense of the word. Amen. If it is in the Word of God and you do it, I'm telling you what, you're going to see the results that the Word of God says. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. It was the point in time when God made Himself known to us in a very intimate way. Amen. Never before had God conceived a child and then robed Himself in the body of that child that He Himself created and walked among us. The Bible says that He humbled Himself and became obedient. Amen. What was He obedient to? He was obedient to His own word. Amen. Well, praise God. Want to help us here a little bit tonight to know the will of God, at least in a little better way. Jesus was not just a man that was born into the world. He was God Almighty manifest in the flesh. And if you get tired of hearing that message, I'm sorry. I just feel like I need to keep on preaching that message. There's only one God, Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And in the Old Testament, He was unknowable. Amen. He was hidden behind a curtain. Praise God. He was manifested through the prophets and so forth. But now He has manifested Himself as one of us. Praise God. That's how much He loves you. That's how much He loves the church. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, who being the brightness of His glory and the expressed image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself, everybody said Himself, by Himself He purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And so God Almighty robed Himself in a body. Amen. He became the mediator between God and men. Amen. He was the Lord of glory wrapped up in a body of humanity. Amen. And He was the brightness of His glory and the expressed image of His person. Praise God. The expressed image of His person. The word express there means an expression. We've talked about that already just a little bit. It was His expression. But it was an expression of His image. And the word image there means an exact copy. Amen. And so when you see Jesus, you don't see one third of the Godhead. Amen. Well, come on, somebody. Amen. You only see one God wrapped up in the body of a man. Praise God. He was not a demigod. He was not an angel. He was not just a prophet, but He was God manifest in flesh. Well, praise the Lord. That ought to just thrill your soul. It thrills my heart every time I talk about it. And so He's the one and only one that we can run to when we have need of help. Praise God. And His plan and His work and His church and everything we need can be found in Him and Him alone. We don't pray 5 minutes to a Father God and 5 minutes to a Son God and 5 minutes to a Holy Spirit God. No, there's only one God tonight, and He has given Him a name that is above every name. Amen. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord with a capital L tonight. He reigns supreme because He is God manifest in the flesh. Praise the Lord. And so when we see Him, and when I say when we see Him, when we get a revelation of the Word of God manifested in Jesus Christ, When we get that revelation, it is designed to revolutionize our life. It is designed to revolutionize the way that we think. Amen. The way that we live. You see, there's more to it than just a doctrinal understanding. There is a relationship. There is a experience. Amen. That goes along with truth. Truth is an experience. Amen. I had somebody tell me some truth here this morning about the dinosaurs. And they're pretty excited about knowledge and truth about things that are around them in this world. Some of you might have remembered in school when it clicked and you got the revelation of division and multiplication. And you got a revelation of some things about English. Maybe you're still struggling with that. I don't know. But there is truth in that. There is absolute truth because God made mathematics. Amen. God made the things of this world. And that's why people go into science, because they're excited about discovery, about discovering things that nobody's ever known before. And when you look at a cell, I've got a book that I'm getting ready to get, and it's about the cell. And it talks about creation and how that one cell, the makeup of a cell, would be impossible by evolution. Don't ever fall into the trap of evolution. Because it was concocted by an atheist who did not believe in God, who made up drawings and so on and so forth. It is a great deception in our world that you are just a bunch of molecules that came together haphazardly, and here we are tonight with our mental capacity and our strength and our wisdom and all of that. What it really does is it takes away from the creative power of God and the revelation of truth in God, and it puts it into the hand of man. Amen. I saw one debate, and one of the atheist professors, he said, if God made everything, he said, my students in my class could make something better than what God made. And I thought, oh my, you are in big, big trouble, fella. You're acting as though you know so much, but you know so little. The Bible says they profess themselves to be wise, but they become fools. Amen. Only a fool will say in his heart, there is no God. Amen. There is a God tonight, and he's not a million miles away. I feel his presence here right now. I wished I could preach like I really want to preach here tonight. Amen. But there is something about him. He wants to reveal himself to us. And he showed that by revealing himself in that little stable, in that little town of Bethlehem. Praise God. And it says that, though thou be little, speaking of Bethlehem, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Praise God. And so the one whose goings forth have been from everlasting was unknowable in the Old Testament, as I've already said, except he would give us his word so that we could reason with him. As the scripture says in Old Testament, come, saith the Lord, let us reason together. And the only way that we can reason is we've got to get the word of God out. That's why it's so important that we come to the house of God on a regular basis. Because if we don't, our reasoning gets thrown off. We can't reason like we need to reason. We get out there in the world and the experiences and the sights and the sounds. They attempt to alter your reasoning. I've seen I had one young man that I pastored in New Bedford, Massachusetts, and his family was in the church. His brothers were in the church, And somewhere down the road, he went to college in Massachusetts, and somewhere down the road, they convinced him that church was not important, that God was not important, and he decided to become a psychiatrist. Oh, I'm telling you today, the world can change your reasoning. Amen. Don't fall into the trap. Go back to the Word of God. I said, go back to the Word of God. Go back to the house of God and say, I'm going to hear something today. I'm going to hear something tonight that is going to affect my ability to reason with the Lord and to get a hold of a revelation. Praise God. Jesus Christ, oh, what a wonder he was. And what a wonder he is. He is the sole, listen to this tonight, he is the sole geographical location in the universe where the infinite invisible God is revealed in concrete form, in image, and finitely in matter as a human. Praise God. Think about it. God who inhabits eternity condescended himself and robed himself in the form of a man just like you and I. Well, praise God. Not sure I'm getting through here tonight, but I'm telling you what, we serve an awesome God. We serve an awesome God tonight. And by the birth of the Savior, amen, who was Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. When you go to school tomorrow, you can say, God is with me. The God who was behind the veil in the tabernacle. The God who created all things on the first day of creation. Praise God. He's with us tonight. God is with us. Not only is he with us, but he is for us. Oh, what a wonder he is. Amen. What a glory of his being. Amen. And what a blessing it is tonight to know who he is. I'm glad we're not following the philosophies of men. Praise God. Help me here tonight, church. I've got something to say to us here. Amen. Jesus is not a mysterious second person of a holy triune Godhead. And it's not a holy triune Godhead. Amen. It is the manufacturer of the philosophies and ideas of men. Amen. Concocted by the ideas of men for devious reasons. Amen. Jesus Christ is not an angel. Some believe today that he is Michael the Archangel. He's not Michael the Archangel. Because an angel does not have the power to redeem us from our sins. Amen. There's only one who can redeem us from our sins, and that is God Almighty. Amen. We have not sinned against anyone but God. Amen. We sin against him when we sin against one another, but it ultimately goes back to God. And so there's only one place where forgiveness can come from, and that is God. That's why when Jesus said, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee, they said, how can he do this? Only God can forgive sins. Praise the Lord. Why could he do that? Why could Jesus say that? Because he was the sole geographical location of the invisible God, and he was making himself manifest to his world. Praise God. There's only one place where we can find forgiveness of sins, and that is through Jesus Christ. No man can come unto God but by Jesus Christ. He is the sole mediator. There is none other. None. There is none other. Buddha can't do it. Allah can't do it. A bull or a goat can't do it. A lamb can't do it. There's only one who can do it, and that's God Almighty. Can we give him a hand clap of praise tonight? Praise God. Some said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Others said, oh, he was born of fornication. Others said, oh, we know him. He is the son of a carpenter from a city called Nazareth, a place where it was not the best place to be born. But he is the exact image of the one invisible God whose goings forth have been from old and from everlasting. Praise God. Praise God. And since God was unknowable except through his word, he became flesh as the intimate expression of his love. Amen. I'm not reading out of some text here. I'm just reading what I feel like the Lord gave me. Amen. He was the intimate expression of his love for humanity and his desire to get on our level. Amen. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Praise God. We literally tonight have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus the righteous. And when we go through him, there is salvation. Praise God. That's why we baptize for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ only. Some apostolics that I know, or one at least that I know of, will baptize and say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, which is Jesus. Why not just say Jesus? I don't want to get so close to a Trinitarian baptismal formula, amen, that people misunderstand and get confused. There's only one name, amen, only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, Acts 4 and verse 12. Praise God. He was not just a man that was born into this world, but he was the very God, amen, whose goings forth have been from old and from everlasting. Hebrews 1 and verse 3. I'm going to get to my point here in just a little bit. Praise God. But I've got to go through this. I want to build upon what I want to share with us that I feel like he gave to me. Hebrews 1 and verse 3, speaking of Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory, the brightness of God's glory, and the expressed image of his person. I brought that out and talked about that. But he is the exact copy or the expression of God to you and I. Amen. And so when we look at Jesus, amen, we look at the statements that he made. Amen. The words that he spoke. The words that he spoke. Hold on just a minute. It was not just the words of a man, but it was the words of God. So what did he say? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You talk about a statement right there. You talk about a profound statement. Jesus is the answer. You say, Pastor, you're being simplistic. No, I'm getting as deep as you can get. Jesus is the answer today. Well, praise God. I don't think I'm making the point here tonight, but Jesus is the answer. This one whose goings forth have been from everlasting, amen, robed himself in the body of a man, praise God, and came to you and I, so that we could be saved. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? I'm so thankful for that tonight. Amen. And he came to get on our level. In reality, he condescended. I hope you're getting this here tonight. He condescended to this earth. Even though he was a baby in a manger, He condescended himself to this earth. He came down to this earth. And he didn't come to Jerusalem. He was not born in the temple, but he came to Bethlehem, who was this a little city, probably the smallest one in Israel. And it says, though thou be little among the thousands. He came to a little place. Praise God. He came to an old, dirty stable, a smelly, stinking stable. Flies flying all around. Animals in there. And there he was born and wrapped up and put on some hay. Amen. Praise God. That's how far God came down to be with you and I. Amen. And who was this in the manger? He was the one whose goings forth have been from everlasting to everlasting. And what I want to show you here tonight, and hopefully this will make sense, is that everything is in Jesus. But it's not just what's in him, it's what he is doing. He's going forth. He's going forth. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's going forth. He's going forth. Amen. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Amen. It's not time to be idle, but it's time to get a hold of what God is doing in this world today. Praise God. We've got to have the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection. And it's what really makes us shout and praise God, because we have been buried in his name. Amen. We are covered with him when we are baptized. We take on the name of Jesus Christ in baptism. We identify with him. We understand today that he represents the God of the universe, the God whose name, when it is spoken, causes demons to tremble. Amen. Amen. It is the name that heals. I've seen God heal in the name of Jesus Christ. He is our healer tonight. He delivers through the power of his name. He provides and he saves to the uttermost. That's why Paul wrote about it in Scripture and called it so great salvation. This is a great salvation tonight. So great salvation. Amen. And Colossians 3 and verse 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do. Everybody said do. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, even the Father, by him. Praise God. And so what he does is a result of who he is. He is what I've been talking about already here tonight in the message. But he goes forth. John chapter 9 and verse 11. Let's look at a few scriptures before we finish here tonight. Praise the Lord. John chapter 9 and verse 11. Folks, it's not all about the shout. Thank God for the shout. But I'm telling you what, it's about our relationship that we have with the Lord. John chapter 9 and verse 11. And he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash, and I went and washed, and I received sight. Jesus could have just spoken the word and healed the blind eyes of this man. But he spit on the ground, and he made clay, made mud, put it upon the eyes of the blind man, and then said, now you've got to do what I do. Go forth. Go to the pool of Siloam. Wash in the pool of Siloam. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 2. Turn there with me tonight. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 2 is the story of the lepers. And they cried out to the Lord, and the Lord healed them. Chapter 8 and verse 2. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. God is always moving forth here, folks, saying, I will, be thou clean. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, see, thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Praise God. In other words, there's going to be proof here that this was a genuine miracle. Go to the priest and do something about what God has done for you in your life. He is the one who's going forth. He goes forth tonight. Amen. Matthew chapter 14 and verses 18 through 20. He saw a couple of fishermen and a very familiar story tonight. Matthew chapter 14. That's not the right scripture. Anyway, he found his disciples. Let's see if that's right. That's not right. I'm sorry, I wrote down the wrong scripture. But he saw two men fishing, and he looked at them and he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Praise God. I want you to follow. I want you to do something. I want you to go forth. Amen. Acts chapter 9 and verse 6, when the apostle Paul was knocked off his high horse and he looked up into the heavens and he said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And the Lord said, go into the city to a certain street and I will show you what you must do. Praise God. Let's stand together tonight. Let's stand together. Feel like I've gone as far as I can go with this. But there are some goings forth. Amen. To every young person that's here tonight, I love to preach to the young people because there is so much potential standing here tonight. So much potential. That if you could see the potential in your life, you would lay aside some things that absorb so much of your time that are meaningless. Oh, they're fun, and the Lord is not against having fun. But the day that we get captivated by entertainment, the day that we get captivated by media, the day that we get captivated and we have to go to the media of our world, and there are so many, I couldn't name them all. Amen. That we have to let something entertain us or let something talk to us so that we can feel like we belong. I saw someone who was, for some reason, was cut off from Facebook, and it showed a little clip of her just weeping. And she said, I can't live without my friends. Speaking about friends on Facebook, I've got to have as many friends as I can because without that, I don't have an identity. I don't have anything that I really am or where I'm going or what it is all about in life. Every one of us here tonight, there is a divine plan of God for your life. And when I say that, I'm talking about the great God that I articulated here in the beginning of this message. The great God that came down and robed himself in the body of a man. Look what God can do in the body of a man or the body of a woman. You're not here by happen chance. You weren't brought into this world by happen chance. Amen. It's not just all fun and games, but I'll tell you what, it's purpose. There's got to be a purpose, and there's got to be a revelation. And that revelation comes from the expression of God. Amen. The greatest thing that any of you young people could do for your life is to develop a strong prayer life. To develop a strong word life. Where's Abigail? Keep memorizing scripture. Amen. She quotes them in the Bible study on Tuesday night. She gets going so fast I can't understand. So I said, slow down. Praise the Lord. But I'm telling you what, keep memorizing those scriptures. Praise the Lord. Some of these young people have gotten into music. If music isn't your thing, all right, but something's got to be your thing. Got to be something that's your thing in the kingdom of God. If it's singing, practice singing and do the very best that you can at it. Because God is going forth. He's not sitting around all the time doing nothing. And I know we're very, very busy people, and I may be preaching to the choir here tonight, but we get so busy with things in life, amen, that we miss what God is really wanting to do in our lives. The one who came to the little city of Bethlehem, and could I transpose that a little bit tonight and say the great God that inhabited eternity came to Augusta, Kansas. He came to Towanda, Kansas. He came to Andover, Kansas. He came to where you live. Amen. You, a bag of flesh, and said, I want to dwell in you, and I want to do something in your life. Praise God. Let's pray together. Somebody lift your voice and help me. Let's pray together tonight. Oh, God, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, use me. Do your work and your will and your purpose in each and every life, in each and every young person that's here tonight. Touch us, Father. Lay your hand upon us in Jesus' name. God, we need you more than life itself. We're in desperate need tonight. But, Lord, we have tremendous hope. We have tremendous hope because you've come to this world to seek and to save, to lift up, to use, to bless, to strengthen, to heal, to fill. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Come on, let's lift our voices together tonight. There's a purpose for your life. Be not weary in well-doing. Doing. That's what God's into. That's what God's into. He's into doing. He's moving. He's moving in our world. And whether you believe it or not, he's moving in our church. He wants to move among us. He wants to bless us and touch us. In the name of Jesus.